Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have Montana Governor Greg Gianforte with us here on the show this morning. Lots to talk about, including his budget proposal ahead of the 2025 legislative session here in Montana. But, hey, Governor, first, great to have you. It was so cool yesterday. I ended up BSing with this guy. They're doing a ribbon cutting in downtown Billings later this morning. He's an Air Force veteran. He was a federal air marshal. Great veteran, great story. He's got a couple of businesses, security businesses, defense industry businesses. And I asked him, I said, hey, well, what made you want to set up your business in Billings, Montana? He said, well, I was at the SHOT Show in Vegas last January, and I see this Montana booth. And then they invite me up to hang out with the governor. And he gives me this pitch on why gun companies and other outdoor companies should choose Montana. So he did just that. Here he is, setting up shop.
And I'm just thrilled that he made the decision. He's going to create jobs here in Montana. And Aaron, you may know, but Montana has more firearms and ammunition manufacturers per capita than any other state in the country. That's why we go to the SHOT Show. We've passed laws here that make it illegal to discriminate against firearms companies in the provision of banking services. We're not going to allow discrimination here. And these are good jobs, so many of them machining jobs, advanced manufacturing jobs. And so we'll be back at the SHOT Show again this year and hopefully thrilled for this business to be in Billings. We're going to go find some more.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you and the whole crew from the Montana Department of Commerce down there once again. It's all, yeah, because I'll be there for 3 days of radio shows coming up in January once again from the SHOT Show. And we're going to be featuring a bunch of Montana companies at our booth. You guys do an incredible job of promoting Montana business down there as well. So it's really fun to see.
It is. And again, we have unique, we love our guns. We love the Second Amendment. And we're a sanctuary for freedom lovers here in Montana, and that includes these businesses that are creating good jobs for Montanans.
And it's paying off. I mean, as the rest of the country has been struggling economically in the past few years, I mean, we've faced some of those headwinds as well, but we have been doing well. Brickstill Defense, setting up shop in Glendive. Now this new business owner, yeah, you know, downtown Billings, and more to follow after the coming SHOT Show as well, I can imagine. All right, well, we're going to talk more with Governor Greg Gianforte. The governor unveiled his budget proposal ahead of the 2025 legislative session. And, you know, the big picture here is, he cut taxes. He and the Republican-led legislature cut taxes in the 21 session, and the economy did better. And revenues climbed. Imagine that. You cut taxes, you get more revenue, because we, the people, do better, which means then the state revenue does better as well. Cut taxes again in the 2023 session, same results. So here we go again, 2025, more money to be in our pockets, and should be a good deal all around. We'll talk about that more next. On Wednesday's Montana Talks, Governor Greg Gianforte dropping in on our statewide show, plus an expert on the violent Venezuelan prison gang, Tren de Aragua, lives in Bozeman, Montana. He's going to join us on the show. And as you remember, the Department of Homeland Security now confirming that this violent Venezuelan gang now has a presence here in Montana. So that and more coming up on Wednesday's Montana Talks. We take you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m. In the
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, so I was chatting with the governor during the breakout. Okay, now governor, we got to share this part with our listeners. So I was joking with you about these Lakota helicopters that the Montana National Guard has now, because I'm like, man, I really want to get up in one of those things. And I ran into one of the pilots, and I was like, hey, what do I got to do to get a ride? And he's like, well, you got to, if you get the governor to sign off on it, you might be able to make it happen. But you actually flew in one of those Lakota helicopters on the southern border.
Yeah, we had 120 of our Montana National Guard down on the southern border for a year. They were down in the Yuma sector and in San Diego. And I had a chance to fly at like 500 feet from Yuma to San Diego over the southern border. And the optics, the thermal imaging, incredible. You could possibly identify individuals 3 to 5 miles away just by zooming in and looking. It was, you could pick them out in a mugshot, no problem.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible here. What a great capability. And I know you've helped put them to work on our northern border now as well. Kind of on that front with border security, last time I ran into, you know, Austin Knutson, the Attorney General, it was interesting because when he was Speaker of the Montana House, President Trump was in office, but we had a Democrat governor in Montana. So it was like the country was starting to go in the right direction, but the state was still a little iffy, right? Now we've got the best of both worlds. We've got a Trump administration coming back into power and a Republican governor and a Republican attorney general. Well, now everybody can start working together to actually tackle the meth and the fentanyl and the border security issues and more.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, if you have any doubt that President Trump is going to get his arms around this, in the last week, I had an outbound reach from Premier Smith in Alberta. I have a call later today with Premier Moe out of Saskatchewan. Both of them have reached out and said, hey, we see you're getting a new president. What do we need to do to not have these 25% tariffs put on? Can we help you secure the border? I mean, it's exactly what we want to have happen.
Well, exactly. I was watching Hannity's show last night, and I saw the commercial from Toronto, Ontario, and I was like, oh, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's just what has happened to Canada under Justin Trudeau is just sad. It's just sad to see what's happening there. But then again, our friends in Canada have been saddened to see what's happened in America in the last 4 years as well. And so, yeah, we've got great friends north of the border in Alberta and Saskatchewan. Well, on to the 2025 legislative session here in Montana. You cut taxes in 21, you cut taxes in 23. Both times, revenues climbed and the economy did better. Second fastest wage growth in the country we've seen here in Montana. And now, hey, if it worked once, if it worked twice, why not continue to allow us to keep more money in our own pockets? You're now proposing over $850 million in permanent income tax relief. Why is this so important, not just for we the people, but for the economy as a whole?
Well, income tax, Aaron, is a tax on work. And it's not the government's money. It's your money. And this is why we've worked really hard since I came into office to fund essential services, but not to grow the size of government. We focused on a pro-business, pro-jobs policy. And as our economy does better, the state gets more revenue. And here's my commitment to the people of Montana. We rolled it out in our budget last month. We call this budget the Path to Security and Prosperity. That as our economy grows and we keep spending flat, we're going to use the incremental revenue to buy down tax rates. And what we've proposed, when I came in, we had the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain West at 6.9%. We had seven tax brackets. It was very complicated. We simplified it. We went to two. We lowered the rate from 6.9 to 5.9. What I proposed for this upcoming session is we lower another percentage point to 4.9, and we add a tax credit for low-income folks that would give them even more of a break. As you said, $850 million of permanent relief. We also need to reduce property taxes. That's why we also proposed a homestead rate reduction. Some people have advocated for just lowering the rate on all residential property. The problem with that is it would raise taxes on small business and agriculture, and it would give a break to out-of-staters who have second homes here. So what our property tax task force came up with is this homestead rate reduction, which would only target people who are Montana residents on their primary home. It would lower the rate about 15%. It would also be extended to renters, because it would apply to landlords that rent on a long-term basis and small business. Who would pay for it? People with second homes and out-of-staters. I think that's fair. We've gotten good support for it. But the budget also makes some investments in public safety. We're going to increase pay for Montana Highway Patrol. Teacher pay is going to go up. We're going to help incent schools to be cell phone free. And we're going to fix our roads and bridges and shore up the pensions. So we're using the one-time money for one-time expenses, the structural money that we have, that stuff that recurs, we're using to buy down rates. I'm encouraged. It's just the next step in our plan.
Yeah. What is the latest estimate in terms of what the budget surplus is, the projected surplus right now? Because like we say, you cut taxes and boom, the revenue climbs once again. 30 seconds
well,
before
you
the
gotta
break.
Have some, you got to have some surplus because you got to have a little reserve. These investments are about $1 billion of one-time money and one-time expenses. We need to build some more beds in Deer Lodge, fix some roads and bridges, shore up the pensions. It's a reasonable way to spend this money on core government functions. But the structural money, permanent relief on taxes.
All right. And what about teacher pay, especially for entry-level teachers? We'll talk about that and much more with Governor Greg Gianforte. Quick break. More to follow right after this. Taking your calls as well if you want to jump in on the conversation. Brett.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let's sneak in a quick phone call here. We've got just a few more minutes here with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Tim, thanks for your call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Governor Gianforte, I just want to thank you for all the work you've done. Keep up the good work. Let's get that tyrannical judicial branch in check and let them remember that they're an equal branch of government, not a superior branch of government. But my question for you this morning is, yesterday I was in downtown Billings driving, and I see this mob of people walking. They look like they were in uniform. They all have navy duck cover Carhartt style coats on, the same beanies on. I mean, they're obviously, they're all carrying bags and backpacks and sleeping bags. Obviously, some of these groups of these illegal migrants have come into Montana. Is there a way for the state to, I mean, how are we going to deal with this? And how, these NGOs that are paying for this stuff to be done, and how are these things being funded? How can we cut this stuff out? And how do we stop these NGOs from bringing these people here?
How do we also identify these illegal aliens, and when they're being shipped here, you know, quietly, you know, by this administration, how to identify them and then deport them? And Tim, great question. Thanks for the call. And Governor, one of the things we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, we've got an expert who lives in Bozeman talking about Tren de Aragua, which the Department of Homeland Security recently confirmed has a presence in Montana, apparently.
Yes, and we've been arresting Mexican cartel members in the state of Montana. The fentanyl that's on our streets and trapping people in addiction, it's Mexican fentanyl. You know, over on the policy of the Biden administration has been a train wreck for our country. They've let over 10 million people into this country illegally. I've repeatedly asked the Biden administration, I asked the president face-to-face when I was in the White House earlier this year. I sent a letter 2 years prior to that. We never got a response. Very simple question. Could you tell us who you're shipping into our state? He told us he's too busy to get us that information. So we've had zero cooperation. They've had an open border policy, and our communities are paying the price. I just signed on to a statement today with a number of other governors to the president-elect, encouraging him in his efforts to secure the border and to deport these criminals that are here, terrorists, drug dealers. We need to get them out of the country. They came here illegally. The problem from the state's perspective, under the Biden administration, once they cross the border illegally, they induct them. They give them work papers. So they show up in Montana. They haven't committed a Montana crime. This is why we need a cooperative federal administration that we can work with to make sure our communities are safe. We get rid of the cartels. We get the drugs off the street. And we the illegals that have committed crimes either here or elsewhere are deported.
Yeah, that's right. One other thing, talking about your 2025 legislative session budget proposal, I know you've got another effort to boost teacher pay. 16 years of Democrat governors that always talked about, oh, public schools, teachers, teachers, teachers. And yet they we had the worst worst pay for entry-level teachers, I think, in the entire country. You've taken steps to try to address that and to boost entry-level teacher pay in particular. You're trying to boost that once again, as I understand it.
Yeah, in 2021, we passed the TEACH Act. We expanded funding for the TEACH Act in 2023. In this current budget, we put $100 million towards starting teacher pay. Now, to be clear, starting teacher pay is set at the local level by the local school board. It's not a state function. This is local spending. But we're coming alongside them to incent them to increase starting teacher pay. I'm the son of a public school teacher. I'm the father of a high school teacher. This is very personal for me. Every worker is due their wages, and there's few jobs more noble or more important than teachers of our next generation.
It's your 12 Days of Giving campaign. You've now done this 4 years in a row as governor. It was so cool. I was out last week, I think it was. I was out on a few days vacation. Danny Rehberg was filling in on the show, and we did our annual Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon. And then it was so cool. I saw that as part of your 12 Days of Giving, you donated a quarter of your entire salary as governor to the Bozeman-based Warriors in Quiet Waters, and I know you've been a supporter of theirs in the past, but that's just one day of giving. You've been supporting the Talons Reach Foundation, Nick Jones, incredible MARSOC Raider Marine. So any particular charities that you want to highlight in particular as we head into this season of giving, this Christmas season?
Well, this is Merry Christmas. This is a season of giving. It's one of the great things about Montanans. They help their neighbor. That's why we do this 12 Days of Giving every year. And I committed when I got into office that I would give my entire salary to charity every year. We do it during this 12 Days of Giving. And here's the goal, Aaron. By highlighting these 12 nonprofits, everybody's in a different place. But if you're in a position to help, maybe give a toy to Toys for Tots or help out with Warriors and Quiet Waters or maybe write a check to the local food bank. By shining a light on these nonprofits that are in our communities, making a difference in people's lives, you know this, Aaron. There is joy in giving and helping your neighbor, and it's what this holiday season is all about.
That's right. Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours as well, Governor. I know we promised we'd get you on the road by 9:30, and we're about 20 seconds away from that. So, Governor, thanks for your time this morning. That being said, though, Greg and Billings, stand by on the phone lines because Greg and Billings has a great idea that he's on to. So, Greg, stand by. I want to get to your phone call next, and I know the Governor and his team will continue listening as well. But, Governor, thanks for your time. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Let's see, 406-294-0970 is the number. We've got just a few minutes here before our next guest joins us on the program. I see we've got Greg in Billings on the phone lines. Is Greg Franks, is that you, or is this another Greg?
That's that's who I'm assuming to be today.
That's who, yeah, yeah. There's a few other identities you might call in under if we're lucky.
We'll see. I won't change my voice this time.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to thank the governor and his team for the great work that they have done in regards to cutting taxes and getting the state on track, getting us out of debt. But, you know, I think that there's a lot more work that can be done, particularly targeting property taxes. Most of those revenues, we all know that the state just collects those and disperses those back to local communities and school districts. And where there's transparency in the city, in the state government, there doesn't seem to be much transparency within these school districts and city organizations, particularly the big seven municipalities here in the state. And there's no responsible accounting for the way that they do spend their monies. I was going to ask Greg if he had any plans of holding any accountabilities or responsibilities for auditing these organizations and showing a transparency to the taxpayers of actually where these dollars are being spent, and having a true accounting system to where everything can be exposed instead of the vacant shell games that they play with the funds.
Well, and to put, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I know you and I have talked off air about this, and I think you have a great idea on this front, which is, okay, President Trump tapped Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk to lead DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. They want to, okay, we're spending $2 trillion at the federal level, more than we're taking in. They're going to go in and say, hey, let's find places to cut. Let's find efficiencies in government. Why not have a DOGE for Montana? And I think you could argue that the governor's red tape relief initiative was an effort just like that. And it was a great effort. But now let's take it to the next step, next level, and do another round of something like a DOGE in Montana, right?
Exactly. And, you know, legislatures, they have a lot going on. I know last year they had like 3,000, 4,000 type bills that they all considered, and I think only a fraction of those made it through. But having some leadership within the legislature to guide and direct and say, listen, the Montana people voted strongly for a Republican leadership to steer the state in the right direction. Let's focus our attentions on making this state more efficient, more accountable to the taxpayers, and building a future for our kids and grandchildren.
Well, and the idea that you have, too, about outside audits of some of these city government budgets. Look, why? I love the idea of capping all property taxes based off of the purchase, not the value, but the purchase price of the home, for example. You know, but the challenge with that is, as the governor alluded to, is, well, then these cities and some of these counties will just jack up the property taxes on everybody else, whether it's business or ag, et cetera, is the fear. And so you've got to be able to hold these local governments accountable, too.
Exactly. I mean, and it doesn't, you know, except then you look at a city budget and or a school district budget, they play these accounting games and schemes that money's transferred from one pocket to the other, and it's very difficult for them to really track where the dollar's at. Aaron, I'm going to cut it short. I'm about ready to lose cell phone signal here driving, but God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, God bless you as well. Yeah, save a cigar for us, Greg Franks. Great to hear from you as always. Tell Wendy hello. And by the way, that idea that Greg just shared, tomorrow we're going to have State Senator Tom McGilvery join us on the show. We're going to be talking about judicial reform in particular, 27 different proposals that Montana lawmakers and citizens serving on that select judicial committee have identified as proposals to help clean up and reform our judicial system here in Montana. But while we have Senator McGilvery on, you know, he is a fiscal hawk, so it'd be great to hear his thoughts on this as well. All right, let me see. We got to take another quick break here. We should have our next guest on the phone lines with us coming up right after this. We've got Daniel Brunner. Daniel Brunner is the CEO, or the Chief Operating Officer, of Brunner Sierra Group, LLC. He is the FBI's Hispanic gang expert. And so he is an expert on Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang that, according to the Department of Homeland Security, now has a presence in Montana. So he's going to give us some expert insight on TDA next.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
During the Montana Stock Growers Association annual convention last week in Billings, I sat down with agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, and he shared with me his forecast for what farmers and ranchers can expect in 2025.
Well, first of all, a lot of the state is dealing with dryness or drought right now. And some of that is legacy drought, especially in the southwest part of the state. So I think the main thing that we have to focus on is that really, what is this dryness and drought situation going to do? Is it going to linger? Is it going to get better? And is it going to get better now? I think a lot of folks are looking at what they're having to deal with currently, and we haven't had a whole lot of cold weather. We haven't had a whole lot of snow in a large part of the state. Is that pattern going to pivot? And I think it's actually going to. There are some things taking place in the Pacific Ocean right now that I think are going to make it more conducive to not only us eventually getting colder, especially in January, okay, and also wetter than what we've seen around here. And I think that those are some things that I was trying to hit on back in May. You know, we didn't have really much of a winter last year, but there are going to be some times this winter where I think we're going to have to buckle up a little bit.
We'll have more with meteorologist Brian Bledsoe on tomorrow's program, or check out the full conversation at Lane Northland Ag Broadcaster on Facebook. I'm Lane Northland.
Saving money at Menards, your pet destination. Menards carries pet food, treats, toys, and more. Treat your dog to the delicious taste of bacon with Purina Bacon Strips. They're made with real bacon that dogs go hog wild for. Bacon Strips are made without artificial flavors or colors and are available in a variety of savory flavors. Transform treat time with Purina Bacon Strips. A 40-ounce bag is $14.99 at Menards. Sale price good through December 15th.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, one other thing that I was going to bring up during our chat with the governor, but as you can tell, the time just flies by so quickly here, especially when we try to sneak in phone calls and more. But the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, they represent your small business owners, like actual business owners, not like some of these chambers that, you know, pull in a bunch of nonprofits and then they don't really represent business anymore. The NFIB truly represents small business. Rhonda Wiggers is the Montana state director for the NFIB. Anyway, they just released their latest Small Business Optimism Index. And here's how they describe it. Because now you're basically seeing, you've already seen consumer optimism on the rise, more Christmas shopping, for example, because people are excited about what's going to happen now with our economy. Specifically after the November elections, people are already more optimistic about what's going to happen with our economy. And so their Small Business Optimism Index, now they're describing it as a mammoth change, breaking a 34 consecutive month drought below the half century average. Now they are above the 50-year average for their optimism index from small business. So that's at least small business owners and consumers seem to be much more optimistic now about the economy following the November elections. I know a lot of you are also more optimistic about border security come January 20th, once President Trump gets back into office as well. But let's jump into it here. I think it was, a couple of weeks ago, we had Stacey Zinn join us on the show. And Stacey's incredible. You know, she knows the Mexican drug cartels. She had a career in the DEA. She served with the DEA in Afghanistan. She served with the DEA in South America. She has interrogated cartel operatives. She went after the cartels here in Montana. But we also kind of asked her, while we were talking about a whole host of things, we asked her about TDA, Tren de Aragua, this violent Venezuelan prison gang that has also taken advantage of our wide-open southern border to invade America. And I mentioned how the Department of Homeland Security, according to the New York Post, has now confirmed that TDA also has a presence here in Montana. Anyway, Daniel Brunner is was with the FBI, a Hispanic gang expert.
and is with the Brunner Sierra Group. He lives in Bozeman, Montana. Mr. Brunner, great to have you on the show, and thanks for reaching out, by the way.
Good morning. Appreciate the time, and I'm glad to help out here.
Yeah, you've got 29 years of combined service in federal law enforcement and the Navy. What'd you do in the Navy, if you don't mind me asking, and thanks for your service?
No, my pleasure. So I was in the Navy, enlisted in 1994 as an operations specialist. So if your listeners will be imagining the movies and then those dark rooms of the radar scopes, that's what I did for 5 years. And I was stationed at the Naval Academy for 3 years following that. And then post 9/11, the FBI was recruiting out of FBI Baltimore. I speak Spanish. It's my first language. My parents are immigrants to this country, and I spoke Spanish. I raised my hand, and a year later, I was at the FBI Academy, and then 20 years later in FBI Newark. I was doing Newark, New Jersey for 20 years as a street agent, never became a boss, and just loved every second of it.
What got you to Montana other than wanting to get the heck out of New Jersey?
So I grew up skiing out here out west my whole life. I was skiing Colorado, Utah, Montana, so this is all, familiar territory for me. And I knew that I was going to retire last year, and my wife and I, we have 8-year-old twins, and we wanted to give them a different life. So moving out west was always on the map, just where we were going to go. And a very close friend of mine lived here in town in Bozeman. He introduced me to Bozeman back in 2019, and we saw what Bozeman was becoming, how it was getting on the map, and we bought our place out here years ago. But only moved out here about a year and a half ago. So unlike other people who maybe see the TV show or something else, we came out here because of the winter, because of the snow, because of the outdoors. So
yeah, people that want to escape the winter. I get wanting to escape the winter for a little while, but man, winter is one of the best parts of being in Montana. Exactly right. So you come to Montana to escape all these things of the big city life and, raise your kids out here. And then it sounds like, these violent criminal gangs follow you to Bozeman, Montana, into the Gallatin Valley. When I saw this report that DHS was confirming that TDA has a presence in Montana, I wasn't surprised, right? I wouldn't. I was assuming they were already here because the drug cartels have found it easy pickings apparently around here. I've noticed a lot of Venezuelans that don't speak English as I've traveled the state at a few different places. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. What do you think? Are they here? How big of a presence? Have they followed you home to Bozeman?
No, I definitely am not going to say, people in Montana can stay safe to say that they have not followed me here. So my main gang that I was investigating while I was in New Jersey was MS-13. And I found that their footprint here in Montana is very small. But the reason why Tren de Aragua is here is because of the communities that have come up here, because of the construction. You have a large amount of migrants coming into this country. And the three predominant communities are Mexican, Hondurans, and Venezuelans. And that's just because that's the way the migrants, groups have moved. Now, Tren de Aragua is only going to set up their stations within the Venezuelan communities. So because there's a Venezuelan community here in Bozeman, they find comfort, they find security going into those communities. So they're not going to be in a town where there is not a Venezuelan community, where there is maybe a Hispanic community, but not Venezuelan. So they will move into Venezuelan communities and then start taking advantage of the systems that are there, whether it be criminalistic or other means. So you see what happened in Aurora, Colorado, where they took over an apartment building. You're not going to see that here. You're going to see smaller crimes. I've known that I've heard 7 to 8 months ago. I mean, I know the DHS report just came out a month ago. I heard 7 to 8 months ago that they were here. So it wasn't something that I was willing to put out. I didn't know if the Sheriff's Department or Bozeman PD were actually working an investigation. I didn't want to jeopardize that for them, but we know that we know that they're here. Where they're located, I can't say. I don't know. And what criminal behaviors they're conducting, that's, hopefully thankfully Gallatin County Sheriff's Office and the Bozeman PD are on top of it.
Yeah, I know. I reached out to a few law enforcement professionals just after that report came out to say, hey, are you guys tracking anything, anybody in your jail, et cetera? Because there was a jail down in Wyoming where they said, yeah, they had a TDA member there. And they said they have individuals they suspect are involved with TDA, but it's kind of hard to accurately say, yes, this person is or is not affiliated with Trende Aragua. How do you describe Trende Aragua and the threat that they present compared to, say, MS-13 or the Mexican drug cartels?
Well, those are three. Obviously, these are three different levels of you know, criminalistic groups. I look at MS-13. I chased them for 15 years, both in New Jersey, nationally and internationally. So I was all over the planet chasing MS-13. But Trende Aragua is a different type of animal. They've taken the blueprint that MS-13 was, and they've made it their own. They are a criminal organization, so I want to be very clear. I know there are some outlets and some politicians who call it a gang. They are not a gang. They are a criminal organization. Sinaloa, CJNG, who are here in the valley in Montana and have a presence here, those are criminal organizations. They're next level, way above Trende Aragua. But Trende Aragua is definitely a threat to this country. They are a criminalist organization. They communicate via end-to-end encryption. They are using crypto, money laundering, weapons trafficking, guns, and they're conducting criminal behavior that's all over the planet. So a lot of the things that they're doing here in the United States, they've already been doing for years in Chile, Peru, and Colombia, and they've learned how to get the experience. And then when those members have gotten experience, we're talking 24, 25, 26-year-olds who have cut their teeth in these countries in South America, then they come to the United States experienced warriors. But what's really dangerous is we know that there's a clear connection between the President Maduro and the Venezuelan government and Trende Aragua. So to say that they're just a gang or just a criminal organization, no, they're a political arm of Nicolas Maduro, and he clearly wants destabilizing countries that don't agree with the Venezuelan way of life. He, wants to destabilize Peru, Chile, and he's utilizing it. He doesn't have to invade with his army. He can send out the members of Trende Aragua from Venezuela, push them out with his support. He's provided them financial support by giving them gold mines in western Venezuela. He gives them gold mines. They mine it. They sell the gold, and then it's put into their coffers. So Nicolas Maduro gives them an instruction to go kidnap
Hold that thought. Stand by. Yeah, this is fascinating insight here. Daniel Brunner, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this quick break. Shortest break of the hour.
Code 5555 to save 15% today.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, now we got to start right there. I was going to go a different direction after the break, but I was chatting with Daniel Brunner a little bit more during the break, and I was asking him, hey, what can law enforcement look for? What can everyday citizens look for? And he's saying, well, I would caution people because, you can't just go around assuming that every Hispanic person you see is a Trende Aragua member or a drug cartel member, right? And we all get that, right? Or most of us get that. There's still some who don't get that. But then I said, yeah, it's been interesting because I've been traveling all across Montana. I did over 105 events, many from cafes and restaurants. And first off, there are a ton of DoorDash delivery drivers. There are a lot of people that get food delivered to their house. I think food is too expensive as it is. And then you pay the – but Daniel Brunner, you were telling – I said, I ran across a few DoorDash delivery drivers that don't speak English. And in my broken, Spanish, I said, well, where are you from? Hey, and I remember at least a couple of them saying they were from Venezuela. And you actually said that actually is something to watch out for.
I agree. And that's one of the things is giving advice to your listeners is this, is be careful about your home. And what a lot of these home invasions that we're seeing, it's called the South American Theft Group, but the members of Tren de Aragua have adopted doing this. So one of the tactics, and I'm not saying every single DoorDash driver, I'm not saying every single Uber driver is, but one of the tactics they do is utilize members of TDA will get a job with one of these food delivery companies. They deliver the food to your front door, and then they're getting intelligence. They're learning about your house. Do you have dogs? Do you have alarm? Do you have cameras? This, you know, gives them advanced intelligence in preparation for a home invasion. Are you elderly? Do you have children? Are there kids running around? Are you going to be someone who leaves the home, during the winter months? So these are the things that I advise your listeners and my clients, because I do security consulting for individuals here in Bozeman and elsewhere in Montana and actually in many parts of the world, that remove your home. If your home is on Zillow, you've already sold it, remove those photographs. Remove your photos from Google Maps. Remove your photos, because a lot of these sports athletes and other individuals, they've got their home, all these photographs. So when they come in to do these home invasions, they know exactly which way to turn. They know exactly which way is the master bedroom. And they're in and out in 5 minutes, way before any PDs, the Sheriff's Department, is able to respond, especially if you are not home during the winter years. So obviously using caution, using precaution. Again, I'm repeating what you said, not every Hispanic person is a gang member or a cartel member. But using the appropriate caution, make yourself a hard target. Whether it's even buying a sign that says ADT, doesn't necessarily mean you have it, but you put it out in front of your house. So it's just a barrier. It makes the individuals who want to do a home invasion think twice about going to that house. And maybe we'll go to the next house over. So these are some of the...
Because that's what they specialize in. Yeah, Tren de Aragua, they specialize in home invasions, burglaries. That's part of the way they also make money through their criminal activity and to fund further criminal activity. We are getting short on time here, Daniel Brunner. We're going to have to get you on the show again here one of these days as well. You have a security consulting firm, so you will help people out with these sorts of things. I want to give you a chance to promote that before we run out of time, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's the Brunner Sierra Group. We're based out of Bozeman. We have our website, BrunnerSierraGroup.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, Daniel Brunner, BRUNNER. And then you can also find us on Substack. So I put out a weekly newsletter, and sometimes it's every 2 weeks, every Tuesday, Thursday. And I talk about the latest threats, latest intelligence, latest things that are happening both here in Montana and internationally. So please feel free. I'm, do security consulting for anybody from a restaurant here in Bozeman to members of the Yellowstone Club to individuals that are in Israel. The internet and phones are widely available, so I'm happy to help out anybody.
And I have failed as a broadcaster. I mispronounced your name a couple of times already, so now I know how to pronounce your last name there as well. Sign me up for the newsletter. I'd love to stay up to speed as well. Less than a minute to go here. You were talking about how, look, Maduro, this socialist dictator of Venezuela, you release the gang members from, you release these criminals from your gangs, you empty the prisons in Venezuela, you send them north to America to destabilize America. In 30 seconds or so, what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
I think that we have to be cautious with the active. The new administration coming in is going to obviously make a difference and harden the borders. We need to worry about the northern border. I think a lot of 80% of our attention is on the southern border, but I think us Montanans need to be aware of the northern border, and that is a new threat because there's not that many eyes on it. It's going to be a job, and I don't think it's going to be a fast deportation that President Trump is proposing. I don't think it's going to happen that way.
It's going to take a while. That's right.
Obviously.
Well, Daniel Brunner, great to have you on the show. We'll have to get you back on maybe at the first of the year. Thanks again for your time this morning.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Good politics doesn't always make good tax policy. I don't know much about politics, but those who get elected to the legislature certainly do. The art of the possible. Half a loaf is better than none. Slicing the pie. Making the sausage. All those phrases and more refer to how things are done to gain votes and get things done. If you turn those talents loose on the Montana tax system to try to avoid the downsides of an increasingly unpopular property tax, what you get could be very ugly. Specifically when it comes time to design a new tax that would replace the lost revenue. From a political perspective, you'd be just like a new tax to impose all of its burdens on somebody else. Out-of-staters, of course, and maybe just the rich. Or since most of us don't own businesses, we might slap it on businesses as well. And since we don't trust government, we make it sunset in a short time. All those hit political goals, but when it comes to raising revenue in ways that are as economically painless as possible, not so good. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.